to him. He must think I'm a violent bastard. I crossed the fucking line. Serves me right for going out for a drink with a coworker. I should have told him to fuck off when he asked me if I wanted to talk. What if he wants to file a complaint for me fucking assaulting him? What if I lose my job over this? Reese! Reese! Jay says behind me. I don't turn to him. I can't look at him after what I just did. It's okay. I'm fine. I didn't mean to surprise you. As much as he tries to soothe me, he can't understand. It's not just about the fact that I hurt him. It's about being out of control. That I'm so fucking out of my mind that I couldn't even think before violently responding to him. That's not me anymore. I've worked so hard to keep myself stable. But I know why I'm on such high alert right now. I know what keeps nagging at me that I refuse to think about, that I never want to think about again. It's why I've thrown myself into work the way I have recently, why I've been losing sleep, why I was reckless enough to come out here today and let my guard down with a guy who reminds me so much of Caleb. I'm a fucking mess. Reese, are you okay? He asks. I turn back to him. I'm fine. Problem is, I know just how far from fine I really am. And I can tell by his skeptical expression that he doesn't buy the lie. I'm sorry, he says. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. I was trying to do the opposite. I assumed since you... He glances at my crotch again. I don't know what I assumed. I mean, you are gay, right? Even though there's no one else in the parking lot, it's weird that he's saying it out loud. Like someone's going to come around the corner and be freaked out by him broadcasting what we are. The only thing that matters to you is that I'm your boss, I say. Okay. I get it. But if you want to do something else, I'm down. My erection becomes even more painful. I do want something else. I want it so bad. Not just because he's hot as hell and because it felt fucking amazing in the bathroom, but because it would give me an escape from the thoughts that hound me every day. I should say no and get him off my back. I walk toward my car, and seemingly beyond my control, like when I assaulted him, I say, "Come on." He follows me to my car and hops in with me. We don't talk to each other. I'm busy trying to convince myself what a horrible idea this is, but I've already surrendered to the primal desire within me. We've crossed the line. And now that we're less than a couple minutes from my house, I'm ashamed of how easily I cave to my horny-as-fuck impulses. It's just been so long since I felt any sort of ease. And after that kiss, I know he's what I need right now. He's the only thing that can shake me from my obsessive thoughts about Caleb for even a moment. I've worked so hard to get where I am to fuck it up with this indiscretion. But reason can't save me from how much I want his body right now. Chapter 7. Jay. He blew my mind. I was relieved when I saw that hard cock in his pants. Figured we could give each other some relief. I've wanted to give him that ever since I saw him in so much pain the other day. I've wanted to give him as much as he needed. I figured it'd be hot. But when I kissed him, something about our chemistry stirred a passion I'm not used to experiencing. I fuck plenty of guys. Not ashamed of it. Which is why I know when it's beyond the mechanics. And Reese, oh God. I've got some serious chemistry with him. He woke up every part of my body, every nerve in my flesh. I want the stroke of his strong hands running across my muscles and the taste of those lips on my tongue. I thought I wasn't going to have any issues getting him to fuck around once he knew where we both stood. But when he fled the bathroom, I was totally thrown. What kind of guy doesn't want a piece of ass when it's offered up to him like I offered up mine? Clearly he's attracted to me. I can't imagine that raging boner was for someone else in that piece of shit bar. When we reach his place, a one-story house in a subdivision, we get out and he glances around at his neighbor's places as if he's worried one of them will catch him bringing home his evening trick. Considering how quiet he's been, I'm a little unsure about what's going to happen. He wants to fuck. Otherwise he wouldn't have brought me back. But he's uneasy about it. Ashamed. I'm not sure I want him like that. Normally, I wouldn't fuck a guy who appears as conflicted as he does. But the fire between us, I'm not going to turn that down for anything. Even if that means he winds up punching me in my fucking face halfway through because he can't get this PTSD shit under wraps. He leads me up the front porch and into the house. It's a nice place. More than nice. It's OCD clean, something I'm a little shocked to see. A living area with gray upholstered sofas and chairs are placed in front of a wall-mounted large-screen TV. A few side tables have statues and some interesting, thought-out decor on them. Nothing like my place, which Reese would think was more like somewhere a frat guy might live. On the other side of the room, a bar divides the kitchen from the rest of the place. A small stack of mail sits on the edge of the bar. I wander inside behind Reese, glancing around, looking for pictures of his family or something. Some indication that he's actually a person. Nothing like that. Just some framed artwork. One of the pieces stands out more than the others. A gray-framed painting hangs beside the TV. It looks like the profile of a man gazing down. Strange. As he reaches the bar, he turns back to me and rests his hands on his hips. His dick is still hard as a fucking rock. How can he maintain that raging boner? I approach him slowly, cautiously. If he wants to do this, he needs to make the first move. He needs to show me he really wants to follow through. Otherwise, I need to get an Uber and go home. He sizes me up. He's seen me plenty of times at work, so I can't imagine what the fuck he could be looking for now. When I realize he's not getting to this quickly, I try to make small talk. "That's a cool picture," I say, referring to the one of the man's profile. He comes at me so swiftly, I'm not sure if he's going to kiss me or deck me, but I'm relieved when his lips crush against mine. He pushes me to the side and shoves me against the wall like he did in the bathroom at the bar. He wraps his arm around me and presses his hand against my back, forcing my torso tight against his. His hard dick is stiff against my crotch. And I'm pissed that we're still wearing clothes, because I feel he should just be buried within my hole. Don't know why that's where my mind goes, because I'm always the top, but Reese seems like the kind of man who needs to dominate someone. And I'd love to be the one whose ass he owned. He pulls his hand from my back, grabs my arm, and spins me around. Pushing my chest up against the wall, he reaches around and unbuttons my pants before yanking them down. "God, you have the sexiest fucking ass in the world," he says, feeling up and down my sides. He gropes at my flesh, his fingers tight against me as he probes. "It's yours," I say, because I don't give a fuck what he wants to do with it. He squats, trailing his fingers down my obliques until his face is right at my ass. As he grips onto my cheeks, I pull my shirt over my head and throw it aside. He pushes my cheeks apart and spits on my hole before shoving his face against it. He licks, exciting my nerves with a good rim job. "Well, you're obviously no virgin," I say. "Tasted some good hole in my day." He takes a moment before returning to his work. I spread my legs as much as I can with my pants around my ankles, and I arch my back so that my ass pushes even closer to his face, inviting him to take it as he pleases. I glance back and catch him licking his forefinger and middle finger before inserting them inside me. I'm really tight, I warn. Yeah, you are. He's excited about it, like he's eager to get inside me. I'm worried about taking that big cock. As much as I've fucked these past few months, I haven't bottomed once. And I'm also confused as fuck about how his fake leg is going to work during all this. As he massages his way into me, I let those worries go and enjoy the sensations he stirs. Jesus fucking Christ, I say. He stops pushing in, but I don't want that. I think he mistook my eagerness for discomfort. That felt good. I say, keep going. I need you to open me up. He licks my ring as he pushes farther in, moving his fingers in a half circle before going back the other way. He adds another finger. Holy fuck! It stimulates me just right. The guy might be quiet, but he's obviously no stranger to fucking. I just want you to be ready for my cock, he says. I want you to be able to take all of it. I want to take it all. He pulls back out, and I fear he might have changed his mind. Remembered what an absolutely shit idea this is considering our work situation. I turn around as he starts to get up from the floor. But as he reaches halfway up my body, he wraps an arm around me, and before I know it, he hoists me into the air and carries me through the house into a hallway beside the kitchen. I wonder for a moment how he can be fucking carrying me like this with his leg. But I used to hit the gym with a guy who wore a prosthetic leg, and he could deadlift twice his fucking body weight. And it's obvious, based on Reese's physique, that he spends plenty of time at the gym. Reese takes me down a hallway, into a bedroom, and sets me on a queen-sized bed so that I'm lying on my back. He pulls my shoes off and slides my pants and boxer briefs down my legs, tossing them onto the floor as he removes each one. He's still fully clothed, and here I am, completely exposed, totally vulnerable, totally his to do whatever the fuck he wants with. You have the hottest little body, he says, as if he just now noticed. I don't hit the gym for nothing. I'm cocky about it, but I work hard, so I feel like I have a right to be. And his interest doesn't appear to let up, so I don't think he gives a damn how conceited I may be. He likes what he sees enough to disregard a lot just so he can be up in my hole. He heads to a nightstand by the bed and retrieves condoms and lube. Wouldn't have mattered if he hadn't had condoms, because I have one in my pocket along with the lube packet I left there when I almost tricked out with a guy on Grindr, before the asshole flaked. As he tosses the condoms and lube on the bed, I prop myself up on my elbows. Why don't you show me that hot body of yours? I ask. He smirks. It's clear by his expression that he's confident about what he's got. He unbuttons his shirt slowly, as if he's revealing some great secret, which can't be all that secret considering I can tell he's got a great muscly bod under that shirt. Only so much he can do to hide that. When he's finished unbuttoning, he slides it off, letting it fall behind him. I was wrong. So fucking wrong. I knew it was good, but not this good. Four distinct lines cross through either side of his fucking eight-pack, creating sharp shadows beneath them. I'm jealous as shit at how defined he is. I work my butt off to look half as jacked up. Those are some nice fucking abs, I admit. And that chest. And those fucking biceps. I bet that dick's just as good. He removes his shoe on his left foot and his sock before sliding his pants and underwear down to the floor. There's the prosthetic. A curved dip in the metal makes space for his knee, and what looks like some sort of gray liner extends over his leg, but I can't really tell how much of his leg he still has below the knee. I wonder if he's leaving the limb on or taking it off. I want to ask, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to roll with whatever he's comfortable with. Especially since I can tell by the sad expression on his face that his confidence has taken a hit. He slowly steps out of the leg of his jeans. Then he looks up at me. I can tell to gauge my reaction. I look right into his eyes to let him know it doesn't bother me. I mean, it won't. As long as he can still fuck me good with that fat cock of his. He crawls onto the bed and positions his face at my legs. "You got a pretty good cock you're working with, too," he says, before he takes it into his mouth. I toss my head back and run my fingers through his blonde tufts as he goes down on me, proving that he's as good with his tongue in the front as he was in the back. He stimulates my cock with his lips and tongue before his hand joins in on the action. He grips onto the base of my shaft while he encircles the head with his tongue, moving his hand and mouth in sync with one another, creating a rhythm that leaves me gasping with pleasure. "You sure know how to suck a dick," I say. He stops. "I sure know how to do a lot of things," he says, before abandoning my dick. He grabs the condom from beside me and suits up. My body tenses as he spreads my legs, and I know it's because he's so big. I'm fucking nervous as hell, but I want it. I like the look in his eyes, full of desire and lust. He lathers some lube on his fingers before sticking them back into me. It feels good, but not good enough. "Just give me what I want," I beg. "What do you want?" I can tell by the way he says it, he already knows. He wants me to say it. "I want your fucking cock inside me. I want you to make me feel good. I want you opening me up like you do all your good bottoms." He accepts the invitation, pulls his fingers out, and spreads some lube across his dick before pressing the head against my hole, pushing. He studies me. "In case you're wondering, this is against company policy." Serious as he looks, I can tell by the way he says it, he's not discouraged. Even after opening me up with his fingers, I'm still tight, my body unwilling to let him in easily. "That fucking tight hole of yours just needs to be loosened up, doesn't it?" I'm worried he'll push in too quickly, but he doesn't. He moves slowly, my body adjusting to his girth. As his cock pushes in just right, a shot of adrenaline races through my veins. I forgot how nice it can be to be filled, especially with one this thick. He stares at me seriously as he keeps pushing in. A surge of excitement moves through my body, energizing my nerves with a thrill I haven't experienced in a long time. The intensity forces me to open my mouth and moan as I enjoy the sensations that overwhelm me. Reese smiles again. He obviously likes the show I'm putting on, so I won't disappoint him. I keep calling out until he leans down and kisses me with those wet, passionate kisses like the ones we shared in the bathroom. He picks up his pace, and with each push, I feel his cock jam against my prostate, making my cock stiff as a board. Sweat pours down my face as he thrusts within me, offering me the relief that I crave. I've never had a guy who could reach back into me like he can. Pre-cum drips from the head of my dick onto my abdomen. Reese leans back, leaving me desperately craving more of his kisses. He wraps one arm around my left leg and rubs the other down my body, feeling his way across my muscles, appreciating the work I put into it at the gym. It's all his right now. He speeds up his rhythm, and each movement hits that tender spot within me, leaving me wanting more and more, an ache that I need him to soothe. He experiments with lifting each of my legs up before he finds the position that makes me pre-cum. My body's twisted slightly to the side as he fucks me with my right leg lying vertically across his body as he does his work. His injury obviously doesn't hinder his ability to satisfy a man. "Fuck, Reese! God, that feels fucking incredible!" He stops for a moment, breathing heavily, sweat rushing down his forehead. He pulls out. "On your knees," he orders. I can hear the military training in his tone. I do as I'm told, and soon he's ramming into me from behind. One hand on the headboard, I grip tight and release a guttural cry. I jerk off with my other hand as he weaves his fingers into my hair and tugs back. When he pulls a little more, I release the headboard and arch my body until my back is flush with his chest. This position feels even better than when he had me on my back with my leg in the air. The pleasure he activates soars through me, and I call out, moaning with delight until I feel his body jerk about in a frenzy, in a way that lets me know he's filling up the condom within me. His own cry hits the side of my face as he moves close for a few sloppy kisses. I spray my load across his pillows, and it keeps shooting out, spilling across the bed. I always come a lot, but now I feel bad because I'm hosing down his sheets. Holy fuck, you're a messy shooter, aren't you? By the way he says it, it doesn't sound like a bad thing. I've never come that much. It must be how his cock is still jammed up against my prostate. We pant, sweat, fall from the high. He pulls out of me, grabs my shoulder, spins me around, and wraps his arms around me. We kiss, embrace. I still can't get enough of him. I want to start all over again. He slides his arm through the crook of my leg, the other across my back, and hoists me in the air again, leaning all his weight on his left leg as he falls onto me. We continue making out. Chapter 8. Reese. This was just what I needed. I didn't think it could get better than the kiss at the bar. But this was fucking insane. His body, his cries, his pleas for more. He was game for whatever I wanted to give him. A fucking amazing bottom. For a moment, the screaming voices in my head, the downward spiral of thoughts that so frequently plagued me, dissolved as I focused only on our intense experience. After using a washcloth to clean up the sheets he spooged all over, I lie beside him in the bed as we pant together. My body jerks a bit, a sort of phantom orgasm lingering. Finally, a pleasant phantom sensation. One that doesn't remind me of the darkest months of my life. I turn to him, see his massive chest rising and falling as he stares at the ceiling, his face glistening with sweat in the light that beams in through the window blinds. "You sure know how to work that massive cock," he says. I can't fight the smile his words force. I want to thank him for the experience he gave me, but that'd be weird. I'd come across as a creeper, and then he'd never want to do this with me again. "With an ass like that, this cock is at your service whenever." That seemed like a safe way of saying it, but what am I fucking doing? He's my employee. The whole reason I didn't want to do anything with him was because this was one of the stupidest ideas I've had in a long-ass time. I'm putting my job on the line here. I could get in serious trouble for fraternizing with an employee. The company's fine with hanging out with people in my chain of command, but dating is a no-no. Although I've known a few guys who've dated people who report to them. They just fill out some paperwork with HR to avoid legal liabilities, and that's the end of it. But why put my job at risk like this? I shouldn't have fucked him to begin with, let alone be planning to fuck him again. But the look in his eyes, lit up with excitement, encourages me even more. It's the only relief I've had since the stress about this time of year returned. I need it so much. I never let myself have anything. So in some ways, I feel like I deserve this. I know that's what this is really about. I'm a victim of these delicious sensations, thinking with them rather than the voice of reason that keeps telling me what a crap idea this is. Jay rolls toward me, his tight muscles compressing together, stressing their impressive definition. His cock hangs down the side of his thigh. I roll toward him so that we're both on our sides, facing one another. I offer a kiss, which he eagerly receives. It reminds me of this intense magnetism I feel toward him, something I wouldn't have expected, something I never could have imagined before he planted that first hot kiss on me. As he pulls away, he glances around my room. "You have a fucking nice house." "Thank you. Although I don't feel all that proud of it, since it's more about the OCD I developed alongside my PTSD. Laura tells me that's not uncommon. Sort of my way of controlling what I am." "You'd die if you saw my place. I'm basically a rat that rents a room." I chuckle. "I was a mess when I was younger. Trust me, that's not a bad thing." He looks like he's trying to figure something out about me, like he's looking for something from my past. I shift my gaze because I don't want him to see back there. I don't want anyone to see the horrors I wish I could forget. That shit that happened in the break room. How often does it happen? Why did he have to take something that felt so amazing to such a goddamn awful place? I was finally enjoying myself, and he wants to dig up the worst part of my life. But he was there for me. As much as I wish he hadn't seen that, it was nice that he kept the other guys from seeing it. I'm appreciative of that. And I owe him an explanation. It's not usually like that. I can't ever get rid of it completely, but typically I can push through the hard parts, now that I'm on meds and shit. I have my good days and bad days. Usually I'm better on the bad days than I was in the break room. If I'm on edge, I can kind of sense when things are coming. Like when you dropped that box of glass before you started the fight with Tyler. That was a loud-ass noise. And as I'm sure you saw, it got to me. But at least when I see the reason for the sound, it doesn't bother me as much as when it just comes out of nowhere. Fortunately, I'm used to checking around, being aware of my surroundings enough that that doesn't happen much. Used to be a lot worse. I was at a job before I came to the factory, and I wasn't there more than 2 months before I had an episode. They ended up firing me. Not over that, they claimed. But I know it was because that freaked them out. So I'm extra careful I don't get caught. Easier now that I'm a supervisor because I can at least sneak off and hide it from the other guys if things get really bad. "What happens in your head when you hear a noise like that?" Jay asks. "I don't just hear the noise. I hear the rumbling of noises from when we were running through the streets in Fallujah. Gunfire. And the sound of bombs going off. Kids. Women. Men screaming. They don't sound like echoes from the past as much as they sound like they're happening right now. As if I'm somehow slipping through a time warp that's taking me back to that moment." "That's horrible." "It's not as bad as it used to be," I say. Talking with him about it is hard. I'd rather just avoid the subject. But Laura and the group sessions have made that part easier. Only took 8 fucking years for me to get to this point. He glances down at my dick, which is still stiff as a board. "How are you that fucking hard right now?" he asks. I blush. Not much can make me do that. But considering the reason, I can't help it. I take a little something to help me out. Initially, my meds made it difficult to get hard, and I didn't want to miss out on one of my favorite parts of living. So my doc helped me out there. "Viagra?" "A very low dose of Cialis once a day." "Well, with a hard-on like that, you must need someone on that cock all the time." I smile, appreciating his playfulness about a subject that typically causes me some tension. Makes me feel somewhat emasculated. It's nice when I get the chance. "You don't fuck like you have any trouble getting laid." Jay eyes me skeptically, as though he believes I'm some kind of man whore. "I think I have a very reasonable sex life." "Like what, 5 guys a week?" he asks with a whimsical smirk, one of his bushy eyebrows raised higher than the other. He earns a smile. I like this playful side of him. If he showed this to the guys at work, I don't imagine he'd encounter so much resistance. I'm not that bad, I say. Hell, considering the past few weeks with work, I haven't had much time for anything like that. Then, I guess I'm just glad that you saved that load for me. I smile and lean close to him, my lips right before his. You know, I have plenty of loads to make up for it if that's what you want. If you need a cum slut tonight, you can just have at it. He kisses me, and that sweet feeling returns. I wrap my arm around him and push him down onto the bed. I want it again. Need it again. I want all those thoughts he stirred about my past to dissolve and be replaced with the hot, steamy passion between us. The fuck is as good as the first time, and when we finish, he showers off and then throws on his clothes. I offer him a ride back to his car, but he insists on taking an Uber home and just getting another to take him to his car tomorrow. I'm appreciative that he didn't want to stick around. I was worried I'd need to find a way to get rid of him, but he obviously understands what this is. And as long as that's the case, I wouldn't mind making this a regular thing. What the fuck am I thinking? Fucking one of my employees. But as many arguments as there are against what I'm doing, as hard as I've worked to get where I am, something about Jay breaks down my defenses. Maybe because he's already seen mine, and because he reminds me of my friend, a good guy who pushed a lot of people away, but was one of the best men I ever knew. A guy who deserved better than the hand he was dealt. Maybe I'm just kidding myself that Jay's the same. But considering the way he acted with me today, I don't think I am. As long as no one at work finds out, it won't be a big deal. I head into the backyard, into my garden. It's dark out, but I need to make sure I've tended to all my plants. It's a small garden in a 50 by 30 foot space. It's a reminder of what I've lost. A reminder of what I'm trying to hold on to. And typically, a relief when I start working the land. I approach the security light I've rigged on the shed so that it illuminates the backyard at night. Then I check on my tomatoes, fixing a few of the plants where they've grown off the trellises. They're looking really healthy. I'll probably be able to pick a few by this weekend. While I'm on my knees, tying a piece of yarn around a vine to bind it to the trellis, I glance around at the plants that are growing some healthy fruits, peppers, cucumbers, squash, bush beans. I've done a good job this year, much better than the previous ones. It doesn't feel like all that long ago when I couldn't make anything grow. I never had a green thumb, but my obsession with this project has improved my gardening skills, and there's some relief in it. Especially as that dreaded anniversary nears. Caleb's anniversary. The day that is the real reason I can't sleep. The reason I'm so on edge right now. The reason I've thrown myself into the inventory more than ever before. Because I don't want to remember. I don't want to hurt.
Chapter 9. Jay.
I'm listening to a Rita Rudner comedy special on my iPhone when I enter the kitchen and see my landlord and housemate, Charlie. He sits at the table, a bowl of cereal before him as he reads the morning paper. When I pull out my earbuds, I realize I'm fucking whistling. I stop, but it's too late. Charlie says,
"Someone's in a chipper mood this morning."
A retired man in his 70s with a few gray hairs left on his otherwise bare head. He's usually around the house because he doesn't get out too much. When I first interviewed for the place, he openly admitted my rent covers the mortgage. But he bought the place 20 years ago, so this is the cheapest option available to me. And I was appreciative to have the opportunity to stay somewhere that costs less than $500 a month. He stays out of my way, and I stay out of his. but we've had a few sit-down chats in the kitchen since I got here. He doesn't press, never asks too many questions, just cracks jokes and tells some stories from his youth. He's the ideal living situation, never invades my privacy, but also not so quiet that it becomes awkward. "Just had a good week at work," I say. He chuckles, as though he knows better. I open the pantry and retrieve a chocolate Pop-Tart.
"Another healthy meal?"
he asks. I eye his peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
"Really, Charlie? You gonna judge me?" "I'm old. I can do whatever I want to this body. You gotta take care of yours, a little bit at least."
I tear the Pop-Tart wrapper open and flex my bicep so that it stretches the sleeve of my shirt.
"That's how I take care of this body," I joke. He laughs. "Oh, now you're just trying to get me all worked up," he says with a wicked smile.
Charlie was quick to call me out on being gay when I came over here to see about renting. At first, I was defensive. Guys never notice. And I thought he was trying to say I was some kind of flitty thing. But Charlie relaxed me with his friendly smile and a laugh, telling me,
"Don't get your mask ass in a bind. I just have the world's best gaydar. Only way I could get the boys when I was younger."
He had spent his youth in San Diego and would go prowling for guys around the naval base, something I've heard some fun stories about since I started staying with him. We chat a bit more before I toss out my trash and start to head out.
"Don't forget your comics," he says.
He has the comic section of the paper sitting on the table beside his bowl. He apparently picked it out for me since I've asked for them pretty much every morning that I've seen him from the time I moved in. I retrieve them from the table.
"Thank you, Charlie," I say, before heading off.
I feel alive. It wasn't just the sex with Reese. Hell, fucking is nothing to me. The sort I'm used to can't hold a candle to what Reese and I shared. I could tell he wanted me to leave his place after we fucked again, and I was cool with that. I didn't want to overstay my welcome. Didn't want to make him uncomfortable with what was going on, especially since he's my boss. Shit. My boss. I fucked my boss. And I want to fuck him again. It's a bad idea waiting to happen, I know that. But isn't that the story of my life? I head to the factory and get to work, feeling more alive than usual. Today's a big pickup day, so I'm extra busy moving boxes on the forklift to the loading dock before the trucks arrive. I slide the fork under a box when I catch myself whistling again. Shit, I need to stop that.
"Having a good day?"
William asks with a smile on his face as he wheels a cart of boxes toward me.
No, I was just...
I don't really have an excuse. But fortunately, he doesn't seem to care. He just says,
"I've got to get these nails over to Amy and Terrence for pallets, but then I'll be over to help you in about 10. That work?"
"Sounds good. Hey, guys."
Reese's voice comes from beside us, startling me. He approaches William, starts chatting him up. He looks as relaxed as I feel. I like knowing I can help alleviate some of the stress he's been under. I know he can't make a big deal out of what we did, but every time he comes back into the warehouse, he ignores me, acts like I am invisible, even now when I'm right next to him. It reminds me of those days after he had his breakdown. The first few times he was like this today, I figured it was a fluke, but now that I know it's intentional, it's getting on my nerves.
"I'm fine with leaving it at what it was. But does that mean I can't exist outside of that, really?"
Rather than cause a stir, I ignore him the way he ignores me. I back the forklift up and drive off. But I'm a little worried. What if the moment I left this place, he started to rethink what we did? It was so hot that I'd love to go again, but what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't think he should be fucking around with an employee?
No. He wouldn't do that.
He needs it too. There's no way the passion during that sex was one-sided. But maybe it was. I shouldn't obsess about this.
I'm never this way with guys. I can fuck the shit out of someone and then just walk away. I want to believe it's just how hot it was, but I'm intrigued by him beyond that. He's an interesting guy. Most of the blockheads I'm used to are so uninteresting that I don't give a shit about whether I get to know them or not, but he's mysterious. There's this whole other life that he relives on a daily basis, this world that he struggles with while simultaneously trying to exist in the present. I want to know more about that past. Want to know more about these nightmares that plague him. Of course, I know that's the last thing in the world he wants to tell me about, considering he didn't seem all that eager about sharing that shit he told me yesterday. He sounded like he was straining just to tell me that much. When I'm finished moving some of the boxes into the warehouse, William asks me to help Tyler out with another pallet accident. We've had a few of these recently because of some crap wood that was ordered for pallets. We've had to go back and secure some of them in hopes that we won't ruin another batch of bottles. I head over and give Tyler a hand with the cleanup. He hasn't talked to me much since that day when we fought, but he hasn't given me any shit either. I pick up broken bottles and toss them into a box we're collecting the broken shards into.
"Look, man, I'm sorry I gave you a rough time when you first got here," he says as he sweeps up some of the debris.
"What?" I ask. He's really caught me off guard. Is this some kind of a trick?
"I wasn't actually trying to trip you. I just wanted to tell you that. I mean, I was an ass. I was giving you a hard time and doing everything I could to make your job harder, but when I bumped into you that day in the warehouse, that was actually an accident. Until you started being a dick about it, I was actually worried about your fall."
Well, that was fucking unexpected. I think about what Reese said about me in the parking lot.
"I'm just saying, if you make enemies everywhere you go, it's probably not because everywhere you go has a problem."
"Why were you ragging on me when I started up?" I ask.
"You came here and you were all quiet, had this cocky look on your face all the time like you were better than everyone else. Just kind of bothered me."
"Is that really what you thought?"
"Yeah. Reese was talking to me. He said, 'You're just quiet.' I get that. Sorry if I gave you a hard time."
I'm a little irritated that Reese said anything to him, but also relieved. Suddenly, I'm seeing Tyler in a different light. He can actually not be a dickhead? While we continue cleaning up, we get to chatting while we work, and soon he's talking to me about his wife and kids.
"I'm trying to plan out this birthday celebration for my wife," he says. "It's her 35th birthday. You know, we've been together 10 years now.
10 years, that's fucking impressive. My record with guys is far less impressive. He smiles as though he's shocked that I'm even interested in hearing about his life. He wipes the back of his arm across his forehead.
"She deserves something special. We've been through a lot of hard times together. And I was just trying to think of something she might enjoy. You know? Not like the usual dinner and a movie sort of deal. We do that pretty much every weekend."
"Have you thought about maybe a surprise party? Invite some of her friends?"
"Yeah, but I don't know if that'll really surprise her."
"Is there anyone she's good friends with, or maybe a close family member you can talk into flying in for it? That'd surprise the hell out of her." His eyes light up.
"She has this friend from college who lives in D.C. now. They talk on the phone all the time. Oh, shit! I guess I should have thought of that. Thanks! That's a really good idea."
It's nice lowering my defenses for a change. I haven't had a chat like that with someone I worked with in a long time. All that tension from when we fought before has completely dissolved. Maybe Reese chatting with him wasn't such a bad thing after all. Maybe this new gig is gonna be good for me. Although, I know better than to believe that. Everywhere seems great in the beginning, until shit starts getting complicated. Tyler's not a bad guy, and Reese was right about me finding trouble everywhere I go. It happens enough that I know I have to be at least partly to blame. Tyler starts talking to me about personal shit, about his life. Makes me wish I had a buddy that I could talk to about Reese, someone I could confide in. Of course, there are so many reasons I can't talk to Tyler about my life. A shame I can't shoot the breeze about what's going on with me the way he can about his wife. When lunchtime arrives, I head up to the break room. A few of the other guys lounge around, eating their lunches. Reese heads in and approaches the vending machine, still ignoring me. Of course he is. I'm just this trashy trick that he doesn't give a shit about.
Morgan,
he says with that same military tone in his voice as when he ordered me to get on my knees on his bed. My coworker glances up from his ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah?
He asks. Can you swing by my office later to review some ordering information with me? I've been looking at a couple of other vendors that might be a little cheaper, but I want to go through it with you before I make my decision.
You got it, boss.
A soda bottle hits the bottom of the vending machine. Reese pulls it out and leaves without so much as glancing my way. My chest aches as I'm filled with disappointment. Maybe yesterday was all I'm ever going to get from him. He doesn't seem like the sort of guy who opens up much. Reminds me of why I keep everyone at a distance. Can't get disappointed if you don't let people in. After I finish my lunch, I head back toward the warehouse, passing his office. I consider going in, but I don't want to make a complete idiot out of myself. Don't want to seem like this desperate fucker who needs his cock inside me again. Even though that's kind of true. As I pass one of our supply closets, I feel someone grab me from behind. And as I turn, there's Reese. He practically shoves me into the closet. Before I know it, he's pushed me so that my back hits and closes the door behind me. He kisses me hard, the hairs in his beard pricking at my face. His firm muscles are tight against my body. I wrap my arms around him, clinging tightly as this experience offers assurance that my delusions from earlier were totally unreasonable. His tongue slides between my lips, and I greet it with my own. I rest a hand on the back of his head as he kisses down my face, to my neck, the sort of kisses he gave me yesterday, wild, careless, passionate. Considering how good it feels and how every muscle in my body relaxes, I would have thought I had gone months without feeling this sort of excitement, not just a day.
I've missed that hot piece of ass all day,
he whispers so that his breath slams against my neck, more confirmation that my worries were for nothing. It's not that I like him. It's that I've had enough sex to know the difference between when it's good and when it's a fucking stick of dynamite exploding, crashing through my trembling nerves. I thought you were ignoring me because you were ashamed about what we did.
The only thing I'm ashamed of, he says, is that I'm not inside you right now.
I have a condom in my wallet. I still have it from when I was planning to meet up with that trick the other night. He pulls away, looking at me with serious eyes. Is he considering this? But as soon as he starts unzipping my jeans, I know it's on. He locks the door with one hand as he pulls my pants and briefs down with his other. I pull my shirt off, and he kneels down to kiss across my chest, licking as his hands grope at my sides. He forces himself away from my body, and we scramble out of our clothes, stripping down until we're both stark naked, our bodies pressed tightly together as he assaults me with even more kisses. He pushes me against the door, my back hitting the knob. It smarts, but I just slide to the side and take the pain. I've taken hits before. I sure as fuck can take them now that they're followed with such intense waves of relief. He kisses down to my torso. To my cock. He gives me that good head like he did the day before, his tongue going wild around my girth, making me hard as shit. I gasp from the intense energy that pulses through my body. It feels like it's too much for me to handle. I writhe in pleasure before he pulls my dick out of his mouth and rises and kisses me again.
He grabs the back of my neck and leans forward, pushing me farther into the closet, chest first against one of the shelves. I grip onto the metal rod that supports the side of the shelf as Reese kisses his way down my back, to my ass. On his knees, he kisses into my crack and licks my hole. Spreading my cheeks with his hands, he licks and kisses in a frenzy. I kick my head back, savoring the sensations that pool through me, appreciating however he learned to please a man so well. I figure some of his military experience offered him opportunities to learn a few things from some of the guys who were more experienced than he was at the time. He licks his fingers and slides two inside me, working me up before adding a third. "Open me up, I beg." "I have to," he says. "You got me so hard right now, and we don't have any lube. Unless you brought that with you too, you fucking whore." I chuckle. I actually did. "Shut the fuck up." "I'm always ready to play," I say. "That's what happens when you're used to tricking out with guys. Most of them are desperate enough to want to be fucked anywhere, but not bright enough to carry the tools, you know?" He fetches my pants and hands them to me, and I retrieve the condom and lube. I glance at his prosthetic leg for a moment, and he notices. But I just hand him the lube and spin back around, facing the shelf. He must think I'm judging his leg. I'm not. It just surprises me when I notice it. But I worry he's already fucking self-conscious enough about it as it is, and I don't want that to play on his mind. He tears the packet of lube open and spreads some on his fingers before massaging his way in. I gasp as the sensations crawl through me, as he pleasures those areas within me that his cock was so good at pleasuring yesterday. He kisses my ass cheek as he continues penetrating me with his fingers. Considering how much time he spent opening me up yesterday, I'm surprised at how tight I am right now. "I wish I didn't want to fuck you this bad," he says. "Grab the condom and get inside me." He pulls his fingers out of me. I glance over my shoulder as he suits up, adding some necessary lubricant on top of the condom. He rises to his feet, using his left leg to push up before bracing himself on his prosthetic. He's good at working with that leg. He tosses the condom wrapper aside. He's so fucking hard. It looks even bigger than the last time I saw it, which can't be possible. He works his way in slowly, letting me open up even more for him, taking his time. I have to get back to my shift. Everyone will be wondering where I am. And I'm running through a million different excuses until a sharp rush of delight sweeps through my body, scattering my thoughts. His hand covers my mouth like he was anticipating my moan. "You like having that cock inside you, Jay?" he asks. I nod as he kisses the back of my neck and slides in deeper. "Damn, you're so tight," he says, pulling his hand away from my mouth. "But it feels so good." He pulls his cock back out, squeezes some more lube on, and sticks it back inside. All those sensations he stirs make me arch my back as a rush of sensation shoots through me. I grip onto the frame of the shelf as he works into his stride. He wraps his arm around my neck and clings on tightly as he thrusts hard within me, kissing behind my ear. A wave of heat washes through me, up to my face, filling my cheeks. "It feels so good having you inside me like this," I say. "Feels so fucking hot." "I wish I could breed you with my cum right now," he says. I do too. Even though the thought of having him shoot his load inside me is enough to have pre-cum dripping from my cock onto the cement floor.
Chapter 10. Reese.
"It's wrong. I've worked so hard to get where I am, so knowingly putting my job on the line is the dumbest thing I could do right now. But Jay's a pill that can make me forget about how broken I am, about the pain that always seems to linger within me. When we fucked yesterday, he drowned out the noise in the back of my mind, and that's not something I get to enjoy often. This isn't me. I'm responsible. I'm in control, meticulously so, of every aspect of my life. Perhaps that's why I'm being so reckless about this.
I finally found something that gives me pleasure. Real, deep, profound pleasure. And I don't just want it. I need it. Need the relief he gives me. I've had such a hard time ignoring him, pretending not to be horny as hell for his body, pretending not to want to experience those same delicious sensations that I got to enjoy yesterday. I've been plotting a way to make this moment happen, and as soon as the opportunity arose, I took advantage. My cock feels so good inside Jay's ass. My balls feel so heavy, like they need release. I grip onto his abs, the flesh taut against thick muscles. His hole feels just as good as it did before, but this time, there's something so wrong about what we're doing since it's on the clock. That just excites me more. Maybe because the thrill helps still the thoughts that race through my brain. I haven't felt this kind of excitement for a long time. I've been dead for so long. And now, I'm alive again. Own me, he whispers. Own my fucking ass. I pull out and turn him around. He looks at me, his eyes filled with confusion. I lean down and wrap my arms around his thighs, hoisting him up. He wraps his arms around my neck and I shove him up against the cement wall for support, feeling the pressure around the edges of my leg and the socket of my prosthesis. It's difficult for me to balance, but the struggle is more than worth it. I'm far more adventurous than I used to be in the bedroom, and I know it's because I feel I have something to prove, that I have to show all my tricks that I'm more than the handicap they see. Surprised? I ask. Impressed. He smiles. Keeping his leg in my arm, I maneuver my cock back inside him. Oh yeah, he says, his wide brown eyes filled with eagerness. Take me, fucking own me. I obey. I ease myself in, and then offer him the sort of fuck he needs. I thrust, and he curses quietly, twisting his head either way as he trembles, his expression revealing just how much he enjoys how my cock feels inside him. We curse together as I feel the pressure in my balls building and building, and my shaft aches. The way I fuck his ass is like I have an itch, and the only way I can relieve it is by ramming into him. Soon it's too much for me, and I'm spewing into the condom within him. Our kisses are out of sync for a moment as I wince and groan with my orgasm. I think I'm gonna have to get him off, but I must have hit the right spot within him, because his cock spews like a geyser without him even touching it. His eyes widen even more, like he's shocked by the event. The cum spills across his abs like yesterday, keeps going and going. I kiss him some more, amazed that this feels even better than the first time. God, that was so fucking hot, I confess. You're a stallion. We kiss some more before we break apart. I set him down, and we wipe off with a roll of paper towels from one of the boxes in the closet. Then we scramble into our clothes, and I get back out onto the warehouse floor. His excuse to Tyler will be that I needed him to help me move some boxes in the supply closet. That way he won't get chewed out for being late back from his break. As I return to my office, guilt builds within me. This is why I don't fuck around with employees. It's dangerous. We could get caught, we could both lose our jobs. For him, that might not mean much, especially for a guy who hops around as much as he does, but for me, I've worked too hard to get here. It's not his fault that I let myself get that reckless, though. It's just, there's something about how wrong it is that makes it all the more enticing. I've been playing by the rules for so long. This is the first time in a long time that the sex has been so hot that I can hardly control myself. And Jay never looks at me like he pities me, like some guys do when they see my leg. It catches him off guard occasionally, but then I see that desire in his eyes and know all he cares about is getting fucked. But this is about more than him not giving a damn about my physical wounds. It's about the emotional ones that he eases.
The chemistry between us is so powerful that when we fuck, I forget that I'm fucked up. I forget that there's something wrong with me. And for a moment, just a fucking moment, all those thoughts that never quiet down, shut the fuck up, and give me the peace of mind that I desperately long for, just for a moment. I'm a normal guy like I was before I was deployed. And before I lost my best friend in the whole fucking world. Shouting catches my attention. It's coming from the main warehouse. And just when I was having such a great day, I head inside and see Jay and William having at it.
"Well, I don't see why you're getting on my fucking case," Jay shouts.
I'm pissed that it's him.
"Really? He can't make my job fucking easier."
"Hey, we were supposed to fill it up when you were finished,"
William shouts back.
"Hey, hey, hey, guys," I call as I head into the warehouse. "What's going on?"
As I approach, I see Jay's face is bright red. He doesn't look at me.
"He didn't put gas in the forklift," William says. "I told him the gas gauge doesn't work anymore and that he has to refill it every time he uses it, so it died on me while I was trying to move some packages onto the loading dock."
"Is it going to kill him to do it now?" I ask. William sighs like he doesn't understand why I'm being lax about this. Like I should be up in arms over such a trivial thing. I don't see why I forget to do one goddamn thing, and William is all up my fucking face about it. Can a guy make a fucking mistake? Jay's tone is severe, his body tense, his face red. I don't know why he's so fucking defensive about this, or why it has to be a fight. It's not something that can't be fixed. "William, let me handle this," I say. I lead Jay back to my office. "What's going on?" I ask him as I close the door behind me. He sulks.
"Seriously?" I ask. "You were fine this morning."
"I'm doing my job. Same as everyone else here."
"If you messed up with filling up the stupid gas in the forklift, you think I give a flying fuck? William sure does."
He was there for me when I was having my breakdown. Now it's my turn to be here for him. I saunter over to my desk and lean back on it, relaxing my palms on the edge.
"Jay, talk to me.
Seems like every time something normal happens, something that most people would just laugh off or chalk up to nothing, you fly off the handle. What's wrong?"
He looks at his feet.
"This is just how it always fucking is. No matter where I go, everyone blaming me for shit.